Are we together? Do you understand what I'm saying? All right. It might seem like a joke, but I'm telling you the truth. It will happen. As per the temptation will always come. Yes. So, why is that so? That's because the mind is interpreting it based on the human context. As human beings, we are selfish. We want our own this thing, right? And so, in this discipleship thing I'm talking about now, what Jesus Christ is first saying here is that, look, this following that you are following, eh? What's in your heart now is, what can I gain? Because of the things, in other places, he said, you came because of bread. You get, right? But what he's saying is, actually, this following is debt that is inside it, too. After this, he then began to, a very funny message. Let's go on. This message is so funny. I've not seen any preacher like this. 27. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. I'll explain this later, but let's go on. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first to count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? So he's saying that, look, see, this following, you have to sit down and think. Are we together? Yes, right? Because the people, their expectation is that, oh, you are enjoying, you know, things are moving. I'm having breakthrough. I'm having all these things. But he's saying that actually, right, you have to sit down and, because where I'm going to, if your resolve is not strong, we turn back. You get? Are we together? Amen. Amen. Now, it's a very funny thing to... it's very funny. It's like, man. It's crazy. What kind of man would preach like this? What's, anyway. That's why Jesus is Jesus. So, Jesus was clarifying to them that the way my own discipleship style is very different. You understand? This style is not... There's a point of this thing, but the point... There's still glory and honor at the end of the day, but you can't judge it based on your default way of thinking as a man. You get? You have to change. Do you understand my point? Right? You have to change. Because the promise of this thing is not money. You get, if the promise of all this suffering I'm suffering for this gospel is money, Kai. Is it certain? If the reason why I'm doing all this thing that I'm doing is money. You understand? This morning I woke up with an urge to drink like a Sarah. Eh? I wanted to drink like a Sarah. Yet I've not drank that like a Sarah till now. You understand? Right? If the reason why I've not drank that like a Sarah till now is that God give me a car. Are we together? Yes, sir. Is it sad to know? It's very sad. I mean, does it make sense to you? Huh? It doesn't make sense to you, Abby. My point is that you don't need... I mean, I still have not drank. Like, it's like they've lied to me. You get? You understand? All the suffering is pointless. I mean, I still have just enjoyed my life. You understand? Because what is a car? Are we together? Or what is your shoe? You understand? What is your shirt? You get my point? All right? What is an iPhone? You get? How can you say that God? I'm serving God for iPhone? You understand? All right? After all this, I've said now 50 days fast. After the 50-day fast, his iPhone they will give you. Wow. Wow. Yeah. Maybe because I said like I said, it's what I really wanted now. It's paining me. Even till now, I'm not drunk. It's really paining me. You understand? It's really paining me. You understand? You know? I start imagining now that, oh wow, when I get home. Yeah. It's painful, it's not painful. It's painful. You understand? Right? Why will I fast for iPhone? Why? Why? You know? Amen. So, what Jesus Christ was saying was that this thing, the paradigm of this thing is difference. Now, you know how different it is. Even what I'm saying to some of you is not making sense yet. And it's still fine. Right? That's why God needs to help us. You understand? It's just that you need to understand this thing before you start serving God. If not, you'll make a mess of your life. Again. So, it's still in the context of life, understanding life, and understanding the way of the cross, right? So Jesus Christ said, if anyone wants to be my disciple, he has to take up his cross and follow me. Praise God. So, I've said what a disciple is, right? It's very simple. A disciple is a very... It's an understood thing. There's nothing deep about it. It's just somebody that is a follower of a particular ideology or something, right? So you are someone that will devote your life to this way. And what Jesus Christ wants is disciples. Praise God. You remember what Joshua read for us, which is go and make disciples. Huh? When Jesus Christ says believer, it's different from how we say believer. Do you get? Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes, right. For instance, when we call ourselves believers, you might call yourself a believer based on your human understanding of what a believer is. For instance, a human being can say, I believe in Peter Obi. Have you now? Yes. I believe in Tinubu. Now just imagine, a human being will say he believes in Joe Biden. You get that kind of thing, right? So, in other words, when we say we are believers, it's just like, I'm just in this thing. You get, right? There was a man, I've forgotten his name, he said he believed in Atiku. You know, the moment Tinubu got elected, the man switched. You get, right? Because the man didn't really believe in Atiku. He believed in his own stomach. That's really what he believed in. You get. And those of you that are popular, you need to be careful. Because many people don't like you. Many people like how you make them look. Or maybe people like what they get from you. You understand? Right? So, when human beings say we are believers, it's a very tricky thing. At times, it might be just that you are believing in God's desire to bless you, or you are believing in, which is still believe in yourself, you are believing in your stomach, you are believing in what you are going to gain. Are we together? But it's different from what God means, or when Jesus says you are a believer, what he's actually talking about is you are a disciple. Are we together? Because if you believe his message, you must be a disciple. If you believe the gospel, you must lay down your life for it. Are we together? Because the point of the gospel is that you lay down your life. Are you hearing? So if you truly believe in the gospel, you must be a disciple of Jesus. You get? So Jesus doesn't count membership based on, oh, we have plenty of people here. What Jesus counts is we have lives here that are willing to lay themselves down. Or we have people here that are willing to be disciples. That's who God is counting with. Are we together? Do you understand what I'm saying? Right? It is disciples that God is counting, not Christians, in quotes, not church attendees, in quotes. Huh? Are you with me? It is who? Disciples that God is counting, right? Stand up now. It is disciples that God is counting. Go and stand at the back. It is disciples that God is counting. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Where is it going? I didn't send you outside. It is who that God is counting?
Disciples.
Disciples. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. It is who that God is counting?
Disciples.
Disciples. Huh? That is who God is counting. You get? Those are the people that have a real relationship with God. Hmm? Are we together? And so your objective in life is that you want to be a disciple of Jesus. You want to be a follower of Jesus. Amen. You don't just want to be someone that is coming to church, you know, enjoying themselves, but you want to be someone who devotes their life to what they are hearing. Or you want to be someone who devotes their life to following God. This is the only acceptable way to use your life. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Huh? What did I say? This is the only acceptable way to use your life. Because this is the only life that counts before God. Every other thing is a waste. Huh? Are we together? You see, some of us, we are waiting for what will not happen. In the sense that we are waiting for, I said it earlier, you know, you are waiting for a breakthrough to come so that your tears will go. No. No. That is not how it will happen. And may it not happen like that. Let me tell you why. Because you don't want your happiness in life to be triggered by physical things. Are we together? Because if it's triggered by physical things, you are a slave to other men. And you're also a slave to Satan, because Satan can touch things. Praise God. Hmm? So, you don't want your sense of value to be gotten from the things that you have. You want it to be gotten from the kind of life that you are living. Are we together? And it is not an age thing. You can be 12 and God will respect you. You get my point, right? When Paul said, I bear my body the marks of Jesus, you can be 13 and you have in your body the marks of Jesus. Are you with me? So, there is no small age, which is what we'll read. Timothy was called from, Paul saw him as a young boy. He said, I took him. Are you with me?
Yes,
so, please, though, don't be looking at your height or your face, you know. Anybody that is waiting for money to be smiling. You keep on waiting, though. Besides, there's nothing you can do. You are still under your parents. There's nothing. There's nothing you can do. If your parents don't have sense, there's nothing that will happen. You understand? Right? Amen.
Amen.
You better learn this thing so that your parents would feel embarrassed and start trying to have sense. You know, there's a way the younger one will be doing that, the parents will jack up. We get, right? You know, by the time you start saying that, you know, I feel the Lord is sending me to America. They go, what? You know, people like, America, what? You know. So if you're waiting for, or maybe like now you think that, oh, if only my father was like Pastor Kenny, I won't be like this. You know. I don't know. It might even be worse if I was your father. You get, right? It might be worse. So, what are the qualities of a disciple? One of the first things, in Luke chapter 6, verse 13, I really want to finish this thing today. In Luke chapter 6, verse 13, it says that, and when it was day, he called his disciples to himself. Can you give me that Bible? Because I want us to go back a bit. Sorry. Okay, sorry. Verse 12. Now at this time, Jesus went off to the mountain to pray, and he spent the whole night in prayer to God. When day came, he called his disciples and selected 12 of them, whom he also named apostles, right? Now, Jesus, one of the very fundamental things about discipleship with Jesus is that for you to be a disciple of Jesus, you have to be called by Jesus. Now, you might then think and say, but did Jesus call me? You know, now, because you felt that you were not called by Jesus doesn't mean that Jesus did not call you. Are we together? Actually, for you to get born again is that Jesus called you. Right? So, everybody here, that you are here today is not by your doing. I tell you the truth. I'm telling you this thing 100%. Are we together? 100%. In fact, it's so potent that, for instance, for your cell meetings, if you pray more, you'll see that people will come more. Now, the reason why people will come more is that when the devil sends a demon to stop them from coming, Jesus will send an angel to chase that demon away, and then they will come. Are we together? Huh? People don't want to come. Or even when people want to come, Satan wants to stop people from coming. You get my point? So it's a big deal. Even though to you physically, you invited your friend, you paid his transport. But I'm telling you, behind the scene, God did a miracle. Are we together? So for you to be in this place, for you to be here sitting down, right? Irrespective of how you think your life has been going till now, right, I'm telling you that it is Jesus that called you. Do you believe that? And so, I need to say this so that you will understand that the demand of discipleship upon your life, it is because there is a special calling upon your life. Jesus may not have called you physically because he was not with these people, he was with them physically. Right? But Jesus Christ has called you. Praise God. Elizabeth, Jesus Christ has called you. Can you say, Jesus Christ has called me? Yeah. Jesus Christ has called you. You are not just here by fluke. Are we together? So, he has specifically chosen you. Now, the beautiful thing about the calling of Jesus is that it is done via the, how will I put it? It is done via the intelligence of God or the Spirit. There's a whole lot of intelligence behind it. It is specific for people, for the time, for the location. Are we together? There are many variables involved, but God knows those variables, and God is actively calculating the thing. There's nothing that is a fluke. Are we together? There's nothing that is by chance in life. In this life, forget chance. It's not the way. You get. When Solomon said time and chance, it's because he was talking from a darkened perspective. Huh? Do you understand what I'm saying? All right. He was saying something spiritual, but he was using dark words. There's nothing that is happening randomly. You get. This world is just, is the giving birth of the pregnancy that happened in the spirit. Do you understand that analogy? Do you understand? Something happens in the spirit realm already, and then you see the physical manifestation. Yeah, that's what this word is, just the physical manifestation of events that have happened in the spirit realm. There is nothing that is random. There is nothing like, there's no, you get, the only random place is gambling or betting. That's, you know, yeah. So, as you are here, you are called for a time like this. God personally selects us as human beings. All right, He selects us based on our unique situation. So, this is why we don't have an excuse to not follow God, because God has taken into account our life situation before He called us. Are we together?
Yes,
are you listening to me? God has taken account your life situation. Your life situation was already taken into account. Do you understand my point? It's already taken into account. And so, in your own life context, there is still the possibility of you being a disciple. You can't say that, oh, because of my situation, I can't serve God like this. Do you understand? Now, what are some of the excuses that we give for why we can't serve God or why we can't follow God? Who can tell us one of the excuses that we give? You're not old enough, Abby. Yeah, fantastic. Huh? You're not? Okay, okay. Yeah. Age, right? Any other time? What do you mean by time? To balance God and, exactly, fantastic, you know. Time, so age, time, you know. What else? Huh? Environment, what do you mean by environment? Your parents don't have money. Okay. Yeah, so like your family. Eh? Ambition. What do you mean by that? Oh, okay. So you want to be a rapper. Like you know, if someone wants to be a rapper, you're saying that the person should. Very fantastic, you know. So we have all these life contexts, right? But it doesn't stop God from calling. Are we together? Are you hearing me? Because I want to say something now. Now, typically, when God comes to call, He doesn't care about the current context of your life. And so, if you are going to be a disciple, when Jesus Christ says you need to hate yourself, what He's also saying is that you need to forget your life. Are we together? It's not like the person that knows book will be a lawyer. Do you understand? It's not like in this church now, who do you think is most likely to be a pastor? Let me ask it now. Who do you think is most likely to be a pastor? Who did you mention? Him. Okay. Talk now. Joshua, Abi. Okay. Who else? Who do you think is most likely to be a pastor? Deji. Deji, stand up. Ebenezer, stand up. Stand up now. Come to the front. Oh yeah, look at them. Look at them. So you're saying that this guy here is most likely to be a pastor. Why? Why do you say so? He talks like pastor. Okay. What about DG? This kabashin is very hot, Abby. Okay. Who else? Who else do you think is most likely to be a Chisom? Wow. Chisom, come out. Come on, stay here. Come on, stay here. Why do you think Chisom is most likely? Huh? The anointing. Wow. All right. Anointing, fire. Okay. Who else? Who else is most likely to be a pastor? Who do you think so? Anthony. Okay. Hey, Anthony, come. Sai is blushing as if he doesn't want to. As if he doesn't, he's not happy that they called his name. Why do you think Anthony is going to be? He has word of knowledge. Okay. What else? Conversations with him. Okay. All right. So what does Anthony have that makes you think he's going to be a pastor? Word of knowledge. Okay. Chisom. Power. Fire. All right. Ebenezer. Eh? Okay. Counsel, that kind of thing. You know. DG. Kabash. Mm. Fantastic. So, let me ask you a question now. Why don't you think that God can call you to be a pastor? Why didn't you say yourself? Huh? Why didn't you say yourself? What's the reason? What's the reason again? Word of knowledge, fire, counsel, kabash. Do you know that these four things, out of these four things, when God looks for a pastor, all these four things are zero in the eyes of God. Kabash, Abi. Counsel. Fire. Word of knowledge. Do you know that every Christian is meant to have these four things? Right? So these four things don't make them special. Do you understand my point? Right? Calling is calling. Calling is not based on attributes. It's God that calls. Do you understand? So the answer is, what makes God call you to be a pastor? God's will. Do you understand? So that's why you need to understand the... You can go back to your seat. Let's clap for them. So you see, that's why you need to understand the concept of calling. You know, when... And that's why, because if Jesus has to call people to be disciples because men don't think of themselves as being worthy of being used by God. And even when they think, you usually defer to the people that you feel are more talented than you. Are we together? Praise God. So why didn't you say, God can call me to be a pastor? Because actually you should say that God can call you to be a pastor. Especially pastor. You get? Pastor is meant to be common. Praise God. Are you understand what I'm saying? So it's very important to understand that we are disciples because Jesus called us. So Jesus is not looking at the physical context. Jesus did not look at Peter and say, okay, this ministry, do the, you know, maybe go to business. You know, you're already doing business of fishing. Then go to business arm of the ministry. Do you understand what I'm saying? Huh? At times it can flow. At times it can be disjointed. You get what I mean by at times it can flow is that at times maybe somebody can be a worldly musician. But then the person will get born again and then God will make the person a gospel musician. At times it can be like that. At times it can be totally A and Z. Like, you understand? Are you together?
Yes, sir.
At times it can be, I don't know, maybe we are looking at somebody now as an anointed preacher. You know, God will go and be a wife. You know, it can be totally. You understand? So, that's the first quality of a disciple. A disciple is called, and all of us are called. It's a default thing, but you need to understand it. You need to understand. You need to understand that God is not looking at you. Huh? God is looking at what he puts in you. He's not looking at you. You get. And when God comes, he calls what he puts in you. It's what he puts in you that he's looking at. If he's looking at you, you'll be angry. You get. If he's looking at you, he will be angry. You understand? Because you're a frustrating person. Are we together? Huh? Some of you have frustrated the Holy Spirit. Again, right? So the way he's able to still maintain a relationship with you is that he's not looking at you. He's looking at... I'm not talking literally. If God should look at you, you will disappear. I mean what I'm saying. If God were to say, okay, let me manifest myself to this person, you will just disappear. What we say, if you see God, you will die. That's what we mean. Meaning God is too holy. Huh? Praise God. Are we together? That's why even at times, let me just digress a little bit. That's why even at times, the anointing feels overpowering. At times, it's not necessarily meant to be like that all the time. It's that you are too soft for the anointing. You can't carry it. So when the thing comes, it will just mess you up. So, God is not looking at you like that. God is looking at who he made, your spirit man. He's looking at what he has called. He's looking at that vision. He's looking at, okay, then he's now saying, okay, let us mold this person into that thing. Are we together? So, understand that you have been called. Say, I have been called.
I have been called.
Yeah, we have been called. You have been called. You know? Whenever you see, for instance, now you begin to see your mates in this church preach and do so many things. Don't say it's for them. Please, that's the wrong. If you do that, you'll break my heart. I tell you the truth. Okay. If you see your age mates doing something, if you see God using your age mate, understand that the reason why God is showing you that thing is that he's showing you that you too, you are going to be used. Are we together? Huh? If you start trying to compete with people and say, oh, it's not for us, we are just, you know. It's going to be very sad because it would not be like I wasted my time. So the first quality of a disciple is that Jesus calls them to himself, or Jesus calls disciples, right? Jesus is the one that confers, Jesus is the one that comes to people, right? The second is that disciples abide in his word. Or what I mean by that is that disciples take the word of God as the most serious information. Huh? That's the priority information. Are we together? Are we together? In John 8, verse 31, Jesus Christ said, abide in me and I will abide in you. Let's go to John 8, verse 31. Is it hot?
Yes, sir.
It's hot, Abby. Is it cold? I think it's hot. It's hot. All the ACs are on 30. It's hot. People don't want to be cold. Be cold, though. Huh. Heat is not good. Huh? Reject heat. If you can choose extreme heat or extreme cold, choose extreme cold. Yeah, heat is... You don't want to be hot. I remember when I went to the NYC in Kaduna. Kai. You know when the wall is radiating heat? You don't want that kind of heat. As in... Nah. So, Jesus was saying to the Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, continually obeying my teachings and living in accordance with them, then you are truly my disciples. Huh? If you abide in the word of God, the word of God has to be what's... The word of God has to go into ideology level. You see, many of us are fake Christians. Hallelujah. You are a Christian, but your ideology is not the Bible. Ideology is the most powerful thing that governs your life. Are we together? I won't explain too much because I don't need to. If this was, maybe I was speaking to adults, I might go into the more philosophical part of it, but ideology is the most powerful thing. If that's why a Christian cannot be a feminist. Are we together? Because that's not your ideology. Your ideology is not equality. That's not what God sends you to do. Are we together? Huh? Ideology is very powerful. And it is governed by spirits. So, the Christian must have the word of God as his ideology. Do you understand what I'm saying? All right? That must be your ideology. Or it must be the thing that governs your life. It must govern your thinking. It must govern your philosophy of life. So when I'm saying, for instance, that God doesn't judge based on money, that has to enter into how you think and how you see the world. If you want it to be like that, it will be like that. It's a conscious decision that you make. Are we together? Ideology is not sexy. Ideology is your decision. You've decided to make this thing your standard of life. Praise God. Are we together? And that's why a lot of us, we are scared when we meet truly ideological people. Because they are too powerful for us to stand. Are we together? If you meet somebody now that truly believes, you know, there are people that, a lot of people don't believe in LGBT. A lot of people, you just follow crowd. All right? But if you meet the ones that truly believe in it, if you don't believe in your own thing, you'll be scared. You get? But by the time the person talks with authority, praise God. If you meet a real Muslim, you know, you need to meet a real Muslim. You know, I wish you could do field trip. You know, you need to meet a real Muslim. I tell you the truth. You need to meet real. All these things that people are shouting, maybe for instance, they do early marriage. So at 16, I can be married, you know. If you meet somebody that thing is the person's ideology, all these things that people are saying, it's human rights abuse, all these things, he doesn't care. You're just talking your own. Yeah, as far as he's concerned, his prophet married 13-year-old. What are you saying? You get? I was talking to my friend, Usman Miseri, during this same NYC. So we were talking. In fact, I was even talking to him. I was just in the conversation. I was out there, I was out talking. And, you know, the guy started showing his babe. Then my friend now asked, how old is she? He was saying, okay, you know, this is the girl I want to marry. You know, this is the girl I want to marry. You know. My friend now asked him, how old is she? The guy just said, "Oh, she's 16 now." And this girl was like 30-something. What was scary is that he just said it like a normal thing. He didn't say it like, "She's 16. You know, it's just like now if you want to marry a 25-year-old. You just say, "Oh, yeah, how old is she?" "Oh, she's 25. She's 25, you know. And in the last week, we were just, you know, it's just like normal, the conversation is just flowing, you know. But him, he just says she's 16, and he moved on. Two of us, we looked at ourselves, eh? Yeah? He just said his own and moved on. Well, I was shocked. I was like, 16-year-old, you mean? Hey. And the guy, the topic came up once or twice. And the girl said, "Look, see, you people, you marry based on age, all this thing. We marry based on body. Once we are seeing breast and this thing, we feel you are ready to marry. That's what we are looking at." And the guy argued his position. He argued his position to the point that somebody in my fellowship was saying, "Yes. Yes, I'm telling you the truth. Yes, that's why they're not fornicating. Because they marry girls early. So they don't have issue of fornication." Yeah. The guy stood his ground. He didn't budge. He didn't look at the sophisticated young people from Lagos. You get? That's what it means to have ideology. You understand? Since that day, I understood Boko Haram. I said, "Look, see, this is Boko Haram thing. I understood the cause of it, the root of it." You understand? All right? So, ask. You need to see people with real ideology. So that you understand that, you see, this life, the crowd, many people in the crowd are just doing follow, come, follow, go. But some people have ideology. And those are the powerful people. You get, right? And so you too, you need to have, you have your ideology. Your ideology is the word of God. If Jesus is your master, right, what it means is that he is the one whose words you are living by. You get? And so you hold his own like that. You get? Are we together? So, a lot of us who are not disciples, right, we hold the word of God like, you know, "You're here, you're here, you're here, you're here." You understand, right? Amen. Amen. Are you blessed? That's why, for instance, I can say that a Christian can't be a feminist. I'm not saying a Christian can't have pity for the women that are suffering. But what I'm saying is that a Christian is not in your ideal, is not in your Bible that somebody should spend their life fighting for women equality. Are we together? It's not your ideology. You get? In heaven, they don't talk about it. Has the Holy Spirit ever told you one day? You know? All this oppression on earth is bad. Are we together? Is there anybody that the Holy Spirit told you one day? Huh? It's not you, huh? He told you. Okay. No, he can tell you now. He can tell you. But it's not your ideology. You get? Your solution to the problem of the world is that people need to get saved. You understand? It is my solution to racism. I don't have a political solution to racism. It is my solution to tribalism. Are we together? If I see now that people are tribalistic, Yoruba man doesn't want to marry Igbo woman, the solution is let's get him saved and teach him the word of God. Do you understand? White man thinks he's superior to black people. It's because he's a stupid person. Let's get him saved and teach him the word of God. You understand? Poor man is oppressing, rich man is oppressing poor people. The solution is not that the poor people should revolt and kill the rich people. That's not a solution. You get? Rich and poor, you can go to hell. You understand? God doesn't, the people are poor, so I understood why they killed the rich people. Do you understand my point? All right? It is not my ideology. My ideology is salvation. If you get saved and I teach you the Bible. As a rich man, you will have sense to understand that God made you rich so that you can help other people. Are you with me? Yes. And so if as a man now, you feel that you are superior to women, it's because you don't have sense. Are we together?
Sir.
You don't have spiritual sense, I mean. And so we need to get you saved, if you are not saved. We know some people are saved, but they are thinking like they are not saved. So even if you are saved, let's now teach you the Bible. You get, right? So that you will understand that you are not superior to women. That's my ideology. And that's why I am a disciple. Hallelujah. So if you want to be a disciple, you're going to have to see the word of God. That's fundamental. Are you an extremist? Yes. Do you understand what I'm saying? You are an extremist. You get. You are an extremist. There's no, you're not here and here. You are extreme. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Ah, time has gone. In John 13, verse 34. So I said the first thing is that God calls disciples. Second thing is that disciples live or abide in his word. You know, the word is the primary thing. Please, what I just said now, I can't say it, I can't emphasize on it enough, but you need to understand it. So make sure you catch the spirit of what I'm saying. Get. The word of God is what guides my life. I live based on the word of God. It guides my life. It guides my thinking. I'm saying that you should also see yourself that way. Yet, the word of God guides my life. The word of God determines how I think. My life is not lived outside of the word of God. The word of God tells me how to treat my children. It tells me how to treat my wife. It tells me how to treat my colleagues. It tells me everything. I'm not trying to be successful in this world and I'll go and carry philosophy from 50 laws of power, you know, or 48 laws of power. That's not my ideology. Are we together? Are we together? You understand? Even on LinkedIn itself, you know, I don't promote myself. But that one is a bit, you know, tricky, but, you know. I think I've said it before, you know. A lot of this self-promotion is demonic. I'm telling you the truth. God did not send all of us to be saying, I'm proud to announce. Why are you announcing that you got a new job? Who cares? Yet. It's so bad that people would complete internal training, not even certificate. Maybe in your organization you did 2 days. I don't know. Maybe learn how to use PowerPoint. Yeah. People post on LinkedIn. I've completed PowerPoint. Like, this is ridiculous. You get right? Understand? If you want to pray to God, God, give me a breakthrough. Let me get a good job. Because that's the reason why all of us are on LinkedIn. Let's say the truth. We are looking for a job. You understand? There's nobody that enjoys, I don't know any human being that talks about corporate workshop like that. If you talk like that, you're a strange person. I don't know. Anyway, sorry, I'm talking adult things. Again, right? But the point is that when we say we want to prosper, how are we going to prosper? Let me leave that. So, the word of God is the ideology of the disciples. They abide in the word of God. In John 13, verse 34, it says, I'm giving you a new commandment that you love one another, just as I have loved you. So you too are to love one another. Let's go to the next verse. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples. If you have love and a selfish concern for one another. Praise God. Now, how? Go back to the next verse. I want to say that the disciples of God love one another, but that's not really the real essence of what I want to say. What I want to say is that to a disciple operates on the level of commandment, not persuasion. Are we together? Now, how do you get people to do things? Let's say you want somebody is doing something. Maybe somebody is using an iPhone and you want the person to switch from an iPhone to an Android. How can you make the person switch from an iPhone to an Android? You can make that person switch from an iPhone and go and buy an Android by perhaps manipulating the person. Right? You can, what I mean by manipulation is that maybe you can market Android, you can lie to the person and say that, you know, it's an option. You can say that, oh, if you change to Android, I will marry you. And you can say something like that, you know, and the person would, oh, wow, so you mean, you know, I'll be toasting you since, but okay, let me switch it the other way because I think the other way makes sense. You know, maybe like now you want, someone comes to meet you as a girl and you don't like, you know, you're a vain person, so you don't talk to boys that don't use iPhone, you know. So, now, how will you change that person to go and buy iPhone? You can say, oh, I don't talk to boys that don't use iPhone. And then the boy is stupid too. The boy can start looking for money. Maybe you do Yahoo. Go and get money to buy iPhone, right? Now, that's manipulation. Are we together? Now, God doesn't want us to. God doesn't want us to do things, or God doesn't want to manipulate us to do things. Are we together? God prefers to give us commandments, and then we do things. So God. When God begins to interact with you as a disciple, you would be brought into the realm of commandments, meaning you are doing it because he said it, even if you don't understand it, or even if you don't feel like it. But the reason why you respond to God is because he commanded it. So Jesus in this place will say, I am giving you a new commandment that you love one another. Most people, when they preach love, don't preach it as a commandment. They preach it as, let's love ourselves now. Which is a manipulation. Let's love ourselves now. I can't play music. By the time he has played emotional song, and I say, you know, we are together. Let's hug one another. Right? You're trying to twist people's emotions that will then put them in a position where they will do the thing. Right? But at this level, because the word of God is our, because we have accepted that the word of God is the ideology, it comes in commandment form. So even though it might seem like it's an emotional thing, but actually it's a rational thing. It's a commandment to love. Are we together? In this world, they don't talk about love as a commandment. Nobody on this earth, nobody yet. Do you understand what I'm saying? Right? Love is presented always as manipulation. Let's do something. You get? So, The point is that disciples love one another. They play out, because Jesus Christ said, when you have love for another, them will know that you are my disciples truly, right? But that love is based on commandments. It's based on the decision to stay there. So, for instance, with something like forgiveness, forgiveness is not a begging thing. Are we together? To forgive somebody is the logical thing to do. Amen. Viomi, shout hallelujah. Do you understand what I'm saying when I say that forgiveness is a... Again, right? Jesus commands us to forgive. Jesus... And you know, and that's always the issue with forgiveness, especially, because people are in an emotional state. So, typically, whenever you want to counsel someone that has an issue of forgiveness that they need to do, you might be tempted to think that you need to beg the person. Yeah, and most of us, we are used to that thing. You have an issue with somebody, your friends will come and beg you. Don't mind him now. You get, all right? But at this discipleship level, these issues have switched to commandments. If you have an issue with your friend, it's Bible they will use to judge you. They'll say, the way you are behaving now, is this how you are meant to behave? Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, there was a woman of God that did one birthday that was controversial recently. I don't know if you know. The woman did birthday. I think, This guy that died. I think she did the birthday close to the burial, you know. So maybe like now, somebody in this church dies. Then 3 days later, you're not seeing on Instagram. You're not seeing me doing birthday. You know, it's very painful. Right, it's almost like I don't care, right? And people are attacking the woman. I wasn't aware, but I think someone was talking about it in my office, and that's how I got to know. People are talking, attacking the woman, and I was just laughing. I was like, look, all these people are jokers. Okay, fine. What this woman did, let's agree that it was insensitive. All of you are fake Christians. Why? Can't you forgive her? She did something wrong. Did God not say we should forgive one another? So why are you carrying it as if it's the woman that killed the guy? Why does that disqualify her from being a pastor? You understand? Right? Because people are not disciples. People are emotional. People are just led by gossip, you know. But when we are disciples, we truly, I'm telling you, we truly see everything we judge is from the word of God. You get? And it's not a big deal. If any member of that family should stay in unforgiveness, God will have an issue with that person, not with the woman. They must forgive her. If they say they are leaving the church, they are stupid people. You don't leave church because your pastor offended you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because we are disciples. Praise God. So, you see why Jesus said you have to count the cost? You see why? Praise God. I really want to finish this thing. In Matthew 16, now let me just explain what the cross is. Because of time, I believe I've explained it. So the cross is simply, Jesus Christ said, if you want to be my disciple, you need to take up your cross and follow me. It's a very simple pathway in life. In other words, there is a kind of life that God has structured that will make sure that you are transformed as a person. So it's like a school, in quotes. You know, or it's like, say, going to medical school or going to law school. You know, if for you to be a lawyer, even after you have done your 5 years in university, you must go to law school. But yet, if you don't go to law school, you can't be bad as a lawyer. You know now. Okay. Please, don't go and do fake lawyer this thing. So, you have to go to law school. If you want to be a doctor, you have to go to medical school. If you want to be an accountant, you have to do ICANN. You get it, right? So in the same way, if you want to please God, God has prescribed a kind of life. It's called the way of the cross, right? It's a way. Jesus exemplified that life in a literal sense. Not just in a metaphoric sense, also in a literal sense, because he carried physical cross and they beat him all the way to the point where they crucified him and did all of that. Now, all that journey of Jesus Christ to that way of the cross is just, for us, it's a symbolic picture of how God would like us live our lives. Huh? And it's very simple. It is just that you deny yourself. Do you understand? Right? How you will get there is not your concern, because it is God that determines that way. Are we together? All right? How you will be trained by God is not your concern. It is the Holy Spirit that is your teacher and your trainer. Right? But all you need to concern yourself is with aligning with the move of God in your life. Are we together? I guess everyone I'm saying. Right? So you don't need to worry about, oh, how will this thing happen? How will it not happen? It's already happening. Yeah, God is already training you. There's nobody here that God is not training. You get, right? It might just be that to you, it doesn't seem like training. Maybe what's in your mind as training is that, you know, you will come to school and then you sit down and be writing notes or something like that, right? But in your everyday life, are we together? God is training you, right? The Holy Spirit is coming to you. And the Holy Spirit is trying to make you change and adjust. Now, that is the way of the cross. Praise God. What happens in that way, and what will keep you in that way, is understanding. Please hear me. What will keep you in that way is when you have decided that this is my life. That's why Jesus Christ said, you have to do it yourself. Nobody can put you under compulsion, right? It has to be something that comes from your own decision. Meaning, I have decided to follow Jesus. You know that song, I've decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, you know. It comes with a level of conviction, right? And Jesus Christ will say, this journey, you don't go on this journey without counting the cost. Meaning, you have to will up a sense of courage so that when the death begins to happen, you will understand that, okay, this is what I have signed up for. Now, what is the death? The death is simply the Holy Spirit bringing uncomfortable things to you, things that you don't want to do. It can be as simple as brush your teeth. You know, for some people, brushing their teeth is a dealing. Praise God. I'm serious. So brushing your teeth twice a day is a dealing. You know, I'm not used to brushing. Some people are never used to brushing once a day. You know, some people forget. No, it can be as, I'm actually serious, you know, I'm serious. It can be as simple as don't wear that boxers, right? Because as a girl, you are used to just playing and you wear your dirty boxers. But then when the Holy Spirit is trying to train you to be like you are dying, like, why are you doing this thing to me? You know, it can be as simple as that. It can be as seemingly big in your mind as something as, okay, I want you to stand before people and declare the word of God, right? And then you start saying that, oh, look at me, nobody sent me. If I go, I'll be embarrassed. You know, people know me, right? Now, that death or that feeling of discomfort is the point. That's actually the cross. And allowing God to strip you of who you think you are. Allowing God to strip you of your idea about yourself, what you like, what you don't like, and saying, Holy Spirit, I'm going to allow you to do what you want to do. That is what it means to take up the cross. And that is also what it means to be a disciple. So disciples have a very rich knowledge of what it means to die for Jesus. Do you understand what I'm saying? All right? You can count. You can be passing a place and say, Jesus, this is the thing I left for you. You are seeing that I left this thing for you. 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 Yes, it counts. Praise God. If you stop watching something because of God, I'm telling you, God, like, you can use it to pray. God, you know I love you. I stopped watching that thing because of you. It's because of you. Huh? To you, it might be something small, but I'm telling you, to God, it's not small. Praise God. Huh? Do you understand what I'm saying? Right? So, that process is the process of discipleship. That is how God molds us into becoming someone, you know. And I just see God bringing new levels of discipline to us. Maybe some things that you've thought you were smart, you know, that you outfoxed God. You know those things now. Maybe stylishly, you know. How many of you understand what I'm talking about? Especially in the area of what to watch, what not to watch. You know, maybe you just, I just watch it for 5 minutes. It's not, you know. Or you purposely go and listen to the revelation that will counter, you know. Maybe you know you're doing something wrong, but you go and listen to, it doesn't matter. Yeah, yes. Yeah. You know, we have all these techniques, right? All these fantastic techniques. You know, or I think I was saying it earlier, you know, like music, you know, you convert the lyrics to Jesus lyrics, you know. We have all these techniques, right? But I just see the Lord bringing it again. You need it. Please, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. You need it, you know. If the Holy Spirit is no more disciplining you, it's bad. I tell you the truth, it's bad. It's not that you are not growing. Huh? You are not growing. It's that they've given up on you. You understand? And maybe by mercy, they will come back again. Again, right? So, you always, I tell you the truth, even every day, there's issue on ground. Between me and God, yeah, there's always issue on ground. You understand? It's because you are changing. You're becoming a better person. You understand? Almost every day. There's always issue on ground. Either the prayer is not, you get, maybe me now, sometimes I'll be too tired, I'll just maneuver my way to go and sleep, shall I? Just do one or two things. You know, there's always issue on ground, but you need to appreciate it, you know. Praise God. And you need to be determined to allow God to do what he wants to do. I tell you the truth, it is part of your track record. When we say a man has a track record with God, what we are saying is that that man can list out the things that he has stopped doing or the things that he has forsaken because of God. Do you understand my point? Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's what it means to be a disciple. That's what it means to take up your cross. In a place, or where we read earlier in Luke, just say you have to hate your father, hate your mother. He's talking about the earthly attachments that you have. Are we together? Which is part of the things that people don't want to let go. So people, you know, some of you, for instance, you say your lack of self-esteem. You know, God doesn't understand that you don't have self-esteem. God doesn't understand that you are shy. God does not recognize it. He doesn't plan based on it. Do you understand my point? Right? Now, why are you shy? You might say, like what they do in America, everybody has explanation for why they have trauma. You'll say, my therapist told me that it's actually when I was younger, my mom told me this. Yes, which is usually true, but I'm saying it's not an excuse. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because you're meant to forsake even the negative things that were told to you. If you hold it, it's your fault. Are you hearing me? Are you guys hearing me? If I come and say you won't make it in life, if you believe it, you are the one at fault. You understand? I can say you won't make it in life. I'll go and repent. You are the one that will believe it. when you get to heaven and they ask you, why didn't you accomplish your purpose? You can't use it as an excuse and say, Pastor Kenneth said I will not make it in life. Do you understand? So if they called you a lodo, if it's affecting you, you have an issue, because why is a vulgar person's word having weight in your ear? The moment you see somebody use vulgar words, you should know that the person's mouth does not carry value. You understand? So we know if you understand this thing from the way you fight. If you're fighting with Okada people on the road, it's because they don't understand this thing. There are people you are meant to see and, this guy is a madman. If I stay here now and I engage this man, his life is finished. Me, I have life. Let me focus on my life. You understand? All right. But you see Nigerians, the Nigerian can be going to go and make money. They will bash his car. He will leave where he's going to and start fighting bus driver on the road. Do you understand? It's a strange way of living, Abby. So that's what it means to this message, is it a happy message? There's some of you are looking. So quickly, what are the effects of discipleship? In Matthew 10, praise God. Hallelujah. In Matthew 10, verse, please, can you send me the announcements, please? In Matthew 10 from verse 5, we'll read from verse 5 to 15. These 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, do not go into the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter a city of the Samaritans. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor copper in your money belt, nor bag for your journey, nor two tunics, nor sandals, nor staffs, for a worker is worthy of his food. Whatever city or town you enter, inquire who is in it. Acquire who in it is worthy, and stay there till you go out. And when you go into a household, greet it. If the household is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whoever will not receive you nor hear your words, when you depart from that house or city, shake off the dust from your feet. Now stop here. Now we see God sending his disciples out, which is one of the first effects or the impact of discipleship. Elizabeth, are you with me? Please stay with me or don't lose me. Now, one of the impacts of discipleship is that God will send you, right? Now we see here one of the first results of that sending, what I would call victory. You know, you will go out, you will heal people, cast out demons. You know, I tell you the truth, this easy way you guys are preaching is the way you will easily cast out demons. I'm telling you the truth. Yet, when it's time to cast out demons, you won't go and look for power. Yet, you will do it with the same ease, right? Because you see, when you live a life that is sold out for God, one of the things that God does is that God places a mark of approval on that life. And part of the effects of that mark is just like a sign that this life, I am with this person, right? Or I'm with these people. And part of the effects of that sign is that you will have victory. Right? So if God sends you to do something, you will go out and do it, and you will do it with victory. Praise God. And you will feel happy about yourself. You know. I don't know if it was here another point in time when he went them, he also sent them 72 by 2. They came back and they were rejoicing. You know, because they went and, you know, they did crusade, they did meetings and, you know, things happened. Let me just put it that way, right? And also, not just did God also use them mightily, God also blessed them. Huh? Are we together? These people were not beggars. These people did their things for God, and God really blessed them. And so, in that same way, too, part of the effects of that discipleship is that you will receive the blessing of God. You see, because truly, God doesn't want you to struggle to be blessed. The easiest way to be blessed is to serve God. Are we together? When your life is in alignment with God, then what you call blessing is God just making you fulfill your destiny. But you see it as blessing, but God doesn't see it as blessing. Meaning to God, it's not a big deal. It's not a big deal for you to be the richest man in Nigeria to God. It's not a big deal. If that's your destiny, as long as you're a disciple, God just say, okay, now, you know. Your life will just naturally progress to that place. Do you understand? So, the impact of that discipleship is that victory. You know? That's half of the impact. There's another half, but I'm talking about the first half. There's the victory part of it. You will go out and you will see signs, you will see wonders. God will use you. Are you guys hearing me? I mean, is the mic? Okay. You will go out, you will see signs, you will see wonders. You know, you're going to see what God is going to do in your life. I think there was something I was saying, okay, that was during the vigil. I was saying that, you know, when you see manifestations of God, you know, some of you might be wondering, what do I need to do to have this kind of manifestation? You know, how can I be the kind of person that will be preaching? I don't know, maybe if you like that, you appreciate people are crying. You know, some people like that kind of thing. You know, I don't know. How many of us like that? Talk now. Talk with your church. You're in church now. There's no... Okay. You like it. Okay now. And now you're preaching. I'm like, oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. You know? Or maybe that's not the one you like. Maybe the one you like is that dead people are raising. How many of us like that one? Okay. More people like that one. Yeah. Now, you might be seeing... I don't know. Maybe you're seeing somebody that is preaching and you're seeing... And you're like, God, how can I... You know, a lot of people, in their lust, they will go and start fasting and praying. You know, but you will see fast and pray, but you don't need to fast and pray in lust. What you call manifestation is just a confirmation of what you are saying. If you preach the gospel, God will confirm what you are saying with signs and wonders. Do you get my point? All right. So, You it's not like you need to be a great man of God. When the disciples were doing these things, they were not great men of God. They were not mature believers. Do you understand my point? Right? They were just people that obeyed Jesus Christ. And then God confirmed what they were saying. Because if you preach and you say that Jesus Christ, you need to give your life to Jesus Christ. And somebody says, why do I need to give my life to Jesus Christ? And you say, if you give your life to Jesus Christ, this demon that is oppressing you will go. This sickness will go. If what you are saying is true, then people need to get healed. Do you understand my point? Right. So, what we call manifestation is just God confirming. And so, when we are disciples, and when God has given us that stamp of approval, it doesn't mean we are perfect. I'm not saying that we are perfect. I'm just saying that we have agreed that, okay, this is what we are doing with our life. Now, when God does that thing, we will have these levels of victory, personal victory, you know, blessing in whatever order, money, wife, husband, you know, all the good things of life that people want to have. Praise God. Let's continue reading. 15. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in that day of judgment than for the city. Behold, I send thee out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in their synagogues. You will be brought before governors and kings for my sake, as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Now brother will deliver brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But he who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in this city, flee to another. For assuredly I say to you, you will not have gone through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher, and a servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they call those of his household? You can stop here. So, Jesus Christ is also saying here that aside, you see, there's the coin, there's that victory, and there's another coin, which is Wahala. Right? Now, he says that a disciple is not greater than his master. Yeah? So the life that Jesus Christ called us to is also a life where we partake of the wahala of the gospel. Praise God. Hmm? Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, this wahala thing, if you make it a deep thing, it will be too high. Because some of you have gone through worse persecution than death. Praise God. It's not that big a deal. It's just that it's the way you think. There are people that they can cut their head, but they can't say sorry. Praise God. Are we together? You know what I'm saying? There are people that don't have, you know, it's not everybody that is dying for their brothers, that is dying for their out of love. Some people don't value their life. So they are just, I can die for you. You get? Right? Praise God. That's why if a boy says, I can die for you, you're not meant to believe him. Do you understand what I'm saying? So if you start going to, they're going to flog me weekend because I believe in Jesus Christ. And if you start making it a big deal, you're missing the point. That's not the point. Everybody that wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. What Jesus Christ is just saying is that the earth is going to be hostile to you. So you shouldn't be surprised. It can be high, it can be low. But the earth is going to be hostile to you. You get? You are no worse than people that they cut their neck. Neither are you better. You are you, they are they. So you can't start, if they cut somebody's neck, you can't say, oh God, when will they cut my neck too? It's what they put before you. Because many people are serious. They'll say, oh Lord, what would they call my neck too? You will not preach to the guy beside you. And the reason why you're not preaching to that guy is oppression. You are ashamed to identify as a Christian to your colleague. But you're, oh Lord, what would they call my neck? I love you. You understand my point, right? So the main point is that you, as a disciple, you're going to partake in the victory part, and you're going to partake in the wahala. Huh? It's going to bring wahala. However it is in your context. You get? If the wahala is going to bring to you is that Boko Haram will want to come and cut your neck, it is because that's what God has ordained for you. And it's also because you have the strength to go through it. You get my point? Right? But in your life, there's going to be wahala. Praise God. And it is because you are sharing the life of Jesus. The life of Jesus wasn't just a sweet part. There was also a sacrificial part. And so a disciple is following his master. Do you get my point? So it shouldn't come as a surprise to you if the part of discipleship brings wahala your way, which it will bring. Praise God. Do you understand? And when that thing comes, when you partake both in the victory part and in the wahala part, one of the things that it does is that it makes you very close to Jesus. You understand what it means to walk with Jesus. And I tell you the truth, that thing has value. Do you understand? It has value. When you have walked with God, you have partaken of the good side, the bad side, you are closer to God. And your prayer has more weight. Do you understand? There are people now that, and it's not a man of God thing. You understand? It's not a man, I tell you the truth, it's not a man of God thing. There are people that God literally hears them more than others. Because they are close to him. They've not run away. When wahala came, they didn't run away. You get? They stayed there. You get my point? For so many people, wahala is that it can be something trivial to you. You know, they didn't just run away. When some people ordinary, maybe one thing happened, they just say, I'm not fooling God again. Yeah. Yeah. Some of you here possibly God, how could this have happened to me? You know? And if you look at the problem, it's one small problem. It's not even like there are people that they rape that are still following God. You understand? There are some people that they rape that they forgive their rapists. But then you see others, they just, maybe in church, somebody laughed at you, their slippers caught. I'm not coming again. You know? There's no love, I'm not coming again. Yet, right? So it's not about the thing that happens, it's about the strength of the person. If you are flaky, you are flaky. If you are strong, you are strong. Praise God. Again. Father, we thank you for these words. We thank you for speaking to us in the name of Jesus. Father, help us, O Lord, to live according to these words. Help us to be disciples in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So I couldn't finish. I'll finish next week. Have you sent the announcements? All right, cool. Thank you so much.